Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Last Saturday, had a chance to get down to Ridgeway, South Carolina to the second annual Bird Dog Revival. What a great time. Getting back in touch with my roots of quail hunting. And I'd been emailing a fella about a program here in South Carolina. And wouldn't you know, when I looked on the event list of speakers, he was on there. So I met Michael Hook, which is always nice to meet your guest before we got on the air. And he's joining us today. Michael, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the weekend last weekend myself. I always enjoy getting out and talking birds and bird dogs. So feel that I'm with my folks out there.
I hear you. I did. I came back and I told my wife when I got back, I said, I'm glad I did not take any cash with me. I said, because if I had, we'd have been back in the bird dog business last weekend.
Yeah. It's awful tempting, isn't it?
Puppies, and really it doesn't matter. I'm kind of a dog guy, and I guess most people that bird hunt or duck hunt or whatever are dog people first and kind of hunter second. But, yeah, boy, you put me around puppies, and I want to take one home. I'm probably worse than my girls in that respect. Just want to give them a home, you know?
I understand.
Well, before we get started on this, take just a minute and introduce yourself, and you work for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and kind of give us an explanation of what you do down there in Columbia.
Sure. Yeah, my name's Michael Hook. Like I say, I work with the SCDNR small game program. I'm relatively new in this position, been here about a year and a half or so. But we deal with all the small game animals in South Carolina. Doves, quail, squirrels, rabbits, grouse, woodcock, you know, any of our small game. Doves and quail are probably our biggest animals we deal with. Like I say, they get the most of our attention. So, like I say, doves, from the standpoint of they're just a very popular species to hunt, and like I say, they naturally just get a lot of attention. And quail, because of all their, you know, their 60 or 70 year decline, you know, they've garnered a good bit of attention as well, trying to stop that slide. So, but yeah, like I said, we do mess with squirrels and fox squirrels and rabbits as well. So we're a small shop. It's just two of us, myself and then another guy named Michael Small. He's sort of our dove guru.
Right. I met him too, and he said if you didn't hurry up get there, he'd set up the display and tell you it had been done.
Yep. But
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but that's sort of what we do, just monitor populations, try to, like I say, in the case of quail, try to foster habitat and hopefully bring them back.
Well, and that's the whole point of this interview is to kind of get an idea of how we can bring them back, how we can help you, and what the state is doing to help the quail population. I guess you formed something called the South Carolina Bob White Initiative.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a process. The process started decades ago. Everybody saw the quail decline and couldn't figure out what to do. And my predecessor, twice removed, started the Southeast Quail Study Group.
Right.
And it went through several iterations. It became the National Bob White Initiative. There was a couple plans written, and they sort of laid out how we needed to go about restoring quail at a landscape level. Because everybody wants to blame the loss of quail on something else, but when it comes down to it, it's just habitat. You know, the habitat for quail has changed so much.
It has
in the last 50 or 60 years. You know, and it's not just one thing. You know, it's the clean farm, and it's cattle farmers switching from Lespedeza and clover to, the sod forming grass.
Right.
It's our forests getting older. It's CRP pines. You know, it's a whole wide variety of things affecting the quail habitat. So, like I say, they developed a plan, and it was a really good plan, and it involved about 600 biologists nationally. And like I say, when it boils down to it, they said, here's sort of the blueprint. You as a state go out and figure out how to do it. So South Carolina's response was to form the Quail Council and create the Bob White Initiative. So back in 2014, December of 2014, okay. they had the very first meeting of the Quail Council, and it's a group of about 30, 40 people that had anything to do with quail in South Carolina. It was most of your big agencies, NRCS, Forest Service, DNR, you know, it was the heads of agencies of all those. And there were a couple key landowners and folks that had been involved in quail back in the good old days. So, like I say, it really covered a wide variety of folks. And like I say, that's really how the initiative got started. And then they created a couple committees. They created the technical committee, which is what I'm on. And that's the nuts and bolts. That's right. Getting the habitat on the ground. Created outreach. We've got a Facebook page, web page. We got a bunch of brochures. We got a logo. Hopefully you'll see some stickers floating around with our little logo on it.
So. All right.
And if you want a quail sticker, just shoot us an email, and I'll be glad to send you a quail sticker. So, a Bob White Initiative sticker.
Great. I'd like one of those myself.
Well, we can arrange that. But we certainly can.
You know, you mentioned something there, the Southeastern Quail Study. I was around when that was formed, and we went. I remember we had meetings at Nilo Plantation in Georgia, which was Olin Winchester's place. We went to Pineland Plantation, and when you get on they are so far removed from the average landowner. You know, I mean, that Pineland, you know, had a 30-something-year-old kid from University of Georgia running it, and, you know, it was, I don't know how many thousands of acres, but he had so much in row crop and timber management, and, you know, he told me, he said, my only stress is when the melon people bring people down from New York to hunt, I need to produce 5 to 6 coveys an hour.
Right.
You know, but there's a whole staff dedicated to that. And I guess what we're trying to do here in South Carolina now is to bring it down to the landowner level.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you can have quail and it doesn't take a whole lot of work. And, you know, that's exactly what those plantations like you're talking about, they just dedicate themselves to quail. And I realize, you know, the typical landowner can't do that to the same extent, but like I say, just a little bit of habitat work and the quail respond quite easily.
Yeah.
One of the services we offer is, you know, I'll go out, look at a person's farm or what have you, and I'll write up a little management plan, and in some instances there's not much that they really need to do to just manipulate a few things here and there, and they'll have a decent viable quail population. And like I say, you know, in most terms it doesn't take a whole lot. So yeah, like I say, you know, some of it, more than anything, is perception. You know, over the years we've grown to like the well manicured look, and what's beautiful to a quail is not what's beautiful to us.
And you know, when you look at a patch of warm season grass, you're thinking, oh, that's kind of ugly. Look at all the different times it's not clean and manicured. And you're right. A lot of times, good habitat is not pretty.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
So, and if you look at Tom Hall's place, Magnolia Lodge. You know, we took a tractor tour, and it wasn't. You know, it's kind of rough. You burn and you got dead snags sticking there, and you got some just native grasses coming up or whatever. And that's what the birds like, because they need that protection. More than anything, quail need protection. That's why I think when you had every 10-acre field separated by a hedgerow or a grown-up fence line or whatever, that's when you had a lot of quail, because they could run those fence lines and hawks and foxes could never get to them.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, for sure. Yep.
Well, where are some of the, you know, you got the quail initiative going. Where are some of the areas, because I know you talked about this Saturday, some of those areas that you are focusing on here in South Carolina, kind of, and you're kind of getting these core areas and you're going to branch out from there. Where are those areas you started in?
Sure. We've got 4 focal areas in the state. And you know, we started with 4 because that's what we thought we could handle getting on the ground. And the idea is, so do some work on these different Keystone properties, show the folks in the area, the landowners, that, hey, you know, this is all you have to do, and you can do it on your property. And the idea is to hopefully get them interested and going, yeah, I can do that. And then hopefully you'll be able to change the landscape the habitat at the landscape level. But one of our focal areas is up near the Sand Hills National Wildlife Refuge. and it's actually one of the first in the nation that's on wildlife refuge property.
Okay.
But it's the focal area itself encompasses Chesterfield, Darlington, and Lee County.
All right.
And like I said, we've been doing a lot of work up there. There's a lot of landowner interest up there already.
Okay.
And like I say, you know, and that's just been by word of mouth. You know, there's a lot of folks up there in that general area that's interested in quail. And it, you know, it's not just quail hunters. I couldn't tell you how many times I'll get a call from somebody. I just want to hear the whistle again.
Sure.
You know, I remember
sure.
growing it up as a kid, and
right.
we used to have them on our farm. I don't want to hunt them, but I just want to hear them.
Right.
So, you know, I hear that all the time, and nothing warms my heart more than hearing that. But, like I say,
when that's the motto on your sign, bring back the whistle. That's kind of exactly what you're looking for, is people that want to hear the whistle again.
Exactly. I tell you, moving down the state into the center portion of the state, we've got the Oakley focal area, and the keystone property there is the Oakley WMA, and it's actually Forestry Commission land, the South Carolina Forestry Commission land. And what's interesting about it is it's half agriculture and half pine plantation. So that sort of affords us the opportunity to show farmers, hey, you know, this is what we do for the quail, and you know, you're not taking up that much of your space, and the quail populations really respond. And so it's the only focal area so far that we're able to do that. The rest of them are in the timber. So,
okay.
And it covers Clarendon, Calhoun, and Orangeburg County.
Okay.
Down closer to the coast, we've got the Webb complex. The
right.
Webb Center is the keystone. That's one of the DNR properties.
Right.
And like I say, it's centered there in Allendale and Hampden County. And lastly is our big Gold Star standard tier two focal area. And it covers Union and Newberry County. It's the Indian Creek focal area. And,
okay. And
it follows different protocol than the other. When it comes to habitat and monitoring, it follows the national program. So like I say, it's just more in depth. It takes a lot more work to do the monitoring and all. But the practices are the same.
Okay.
The landowner outreach is the same, you know. But Indian Creek has been around. It's a project that started back in 03 or 04.
Right.
And it was doing the same thing as these focal areas. It was a focal area before we knew what focal areas were.
Okay.
And when people ask, well, Michael, is this thing going to really work? I can point to Indian Creek and go, yeah, you know it'll work because it's already worked here in the state. You know, like I said, they started that project in 03 or 04, and on the fall covey counts, we're hearing 500% more birds than we were when we started there.
Wow.
So, you know, we know it'll work. It's just going to take a little bit of time
sure.
and effort. And so, like I say, hopefully we'll get this ball rolling.
And you mentioned something interesting there, covey counts. And, you know, the first thing that people ask you, well, how do you know how many quail you got? Quail are kind of interesting how you don't fly over and look for them like you do with ducks. You don't have, you know, a hunter, well, you do have a hunter harvest, but most people that deer hunt nowadays, you know, you get the little surveys and stuff like that. I guess bird hunters do too. But with quail, you have what you call a whistle survey, which is really interesting. Tell us a little bit about how you measure success in the Quail Initiative program.
Sure. Each one of these focal areas, we have, like I say, we have a monitoring program. And in the springtime, we'll go out and we do exactly what you're saying. We try to cover a fair portion of the property in points, and it's basically just a route around the property,
right.
And you have designated stops half mile apart.
Okay.
And you go out and listen for 8 minutes, and like say, you record all the bob whites you hear, and you know, the black magic statistics come into effect here a little bit, but you know, you do, and you come out with a pretty good idea of your breeding birds. In these focal areas, we're not just looking at quail populations either.
Sure.
The non-game birds that use these same habitats has got the same trajectory as the quail. They've experienced, I mean, the Bachman sparrow, indigo buntings, you can match their graphs right against the Bob White's graphs, and they've taken the same 60-year nosedive that
wow.
the quail have.
Okay.
So we're also monitoring those species as well, and it's about five or six species that we're listening for. when we go out and do these. And, you know, if you don't believe birds can't be a little bit noisy, you try to go out and locate six or so birds while you're trying to listen. As a quail biologist, it's hard for me to ignore the quail.
Sure, sure.
And so I lose focus a little easier than most. But like I said, it's an interesting project. It's one of my favorite things about the whole focal area project.
And for people listening in the springtime, a male Bob White, a cock bird, will go around and he'll whistle because he's trying to attract a mate. And that's when you say you're listening for quail whistling, that's what you're listening for. That male out there, he's doing his Bob White trying to attract a female, and that's how you judge how many mating birds you got out there.
Yeah, and that's the quintessential call. When you think of quail, that's the one you think of.
Yep.
Is that Bob White sound. In the fall, we also do a fall covey count, and
okay.
We're still listening for Bob White, but they make a different sound in the fall, and it's just sort of like a muted little beep noise.
Yep.
And you know, it's sort of nondescript, and if you were walking out in the woods, you really wouldn't notice it unless you were really listening for it. So, but that gives us an idea how many coveys are in the area in the fall.
All right. And you do still do hunter surveys?
That's correct.
Harvest surveys? Absolutely,
yeah. And typically we've got a list of folks that are interested in doing them, and we mail those out right before hunting season. And, you know, you basically just keep a diary of when you go, where you go, how many flushes you have, you know, how many you kill. And we ask you that you save a couple wings and mail them back to us. We have a prepaid envelope and all. Last year we started an online version of this, trying to make it easier, trying to get some more folks involved. You can go to dnr.sc.gov/surveys/small game and sign up for it. And like I say, I do it myself, and on my smartphone, I've saved the survey as an icon on my phone, and I get back to the truck in the evening, click that icon, fill out the data, and send it in.
Okay.
You know, it's easy to do. So I still got to clip my wing if I'm lucky enough to,
sure,
to find a burden.
Yeah.
But like I say, yeah, we certainly do that. And, you know, statewide, we're also doing the same monitoring and surveys as well. So,
gotcha.
You know, that's one way we keep up with the statewide population. I'm pretty excited to say this year's whistle count was the highest in 3 years, and it's the first time we've seen an increase in 7. So,
wow.
You know, it's not much, but it's something.
Sure.
You know, it makes a quail hunter feel a little bit better,
sure,
knowing that it's not always going down. We did have a little uptick this year.
Okay. Well, got a couple minutes left. I know you talked some Saturday about a program for landowners, and it's, you know, I guess if you're, and you were talking about farmers is kind of, you got a monetary change off with farmers, because what you're trying to do is get them to leave a little spoil on the edge of the field, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. There's several assistance programs. You know, there's the tried and true EQIP and CRP, which are federal programs. EQIP's run by the NRCS.
Right.
CRP's run by FSA. But you know, there's a lot of other money out there as well. I mean, the Longleaf Alliance will assist landowners planting and thinning and burning.
Okay.
And, like I say, anymore, there's a good bit of money out there for early successional habitat. And one that a lot of folks don't think about is the pollinator initiative. You know, there's butterflies and bees have exhibited the same decline as quail.
Okay.
And there's a lot of money out there for them, and when I look at that habitat that they're trying to create, I see quail habitat.
Sure.
You know, it's very similar. So, but there's a good deal of money out there available. In each one of these focal areas, we are trying to get a farm bill biologist hired, and the idea is to help the landowners identify these programs.
Okay.
So right now we have the Oakley biologist starting in November. We are getting ready to hopefully interview for the Lee County position. The Newberry position starts October 1st, and it's interesting in the fact that it is a joint position between Forest Service, DNR, and Quail Forever.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is Quail Forever's first foray into South Carolina, so we're really excited about that, too.
Brings back memories of the old Quail Unlimited.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, that's a space that we need filled.
Sure.
But, like I say, hopefully soon you'll be able to contact somebody in your area about this work. Otherwise, right now, it's just myself and Michael Small. So, please, feel free to call. And you can also call your NRCS office and all as well. You know, they certainly have all the information. But we're certainly here and available for any questions.
Cool. Well, I think we got a good start on this. As with anything, you kind of scratch the surface the first time around. Let's get back together, late winter, early spring, and talk about what some of the landowners can be doing as they ramp up, deer hunters planting food plots and stuff like that, landowners prescribe burning. I mean, there's a whole lot more out there. Let's do this again sometime soon.
Sure. Sounds great.
All right. Appreciate it, Michael.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.